I want to go to Matthew chapter 6. We'll say howdy a little bit later in other special ways. Please pray for Mrs. Smith and I. We've taken quite a turn in life. And like I said, we've been serving the Lord for over 52 years now. 40 of those 50 years was camping. We were actually 23 years in Iowa, 17 years in Kentucky. And a lot of things turned. Yeah, we're at that page in life that pages are turning. Those pages are a little bit more difficult to turn. You get in habits, that's where you're going to be. It's just when you reach day where God wants you. And after 40 years, I kept seeing in the scripture, God turned David's page, God turned Solomon's page, God turned Moses' page, and He's turned a page for us. We're excited what we're doing. We're actually doing something that I never dreamed of to be doing. I'm married to an English major. She is an English student. And each time when I write a letter, I will give that to her as I just finished our monthly letter that will be out this week. And it comes back to me, and I said, is there anything wrong with it? She says, no, it's a good letter. I said, it has red all over it. She says, well, I had to make some corrections. I said, well, a good letter. Why did you have to do that? She says, you write like you talk. I'm not sure if that's a positive or a negative, but anyhow, that writing like I talk, one of my responsibilities is to find the proper and direct the king. The Lord allowed us to do that. I also taught at Commonwealth Baptist College. I was the only professor that was not a professor. I'd tell the students, I'd say, welcome to whatever's going to happen in the next 15 minutes. And but I taught several courses in college, and I enjoyed it very much. I never looked at myself that way. And then secondly, I also, it was the very first day we arrived in Kentucky, Pastor Fugit, which is the pastor of the Pleasant Baptist Church, said, I'm going to pick you up tomorrow morning, and we're going fishing. That's fine. So we went to a lake. We were going to go crappie fishing that day. I was at one end of his boat. He was at the other end. He said, by the way, one of your responsibilities is to find the proper for the king. Yes, sir. Teach in the college. Yes, sir. He said, I want you to be the youth pastor also. Well, I did exactly the same thing he did. I held my breath. And I slowly turned around and I said, preacher, yes, sir, I'll do that, but I'm 54. He said, that's all right. He said, I need you to do this, 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 and this. And I said, yes, sir, we'll do that. So all the youth rallies and things that we took the teenagers to, they all, when Grandpa and Grandma stood up, I mean, they had all the youth pastors. And I looked at him, he looked like he was 14. I'd look at him, and he looked like he was 16. I'd look at Shauna, and I wouldn't say how she looked. And yeah, they're really beautiful. And but never one time we saw the Lord bless. Someone blessed almost 80-some teenagers. And our youth group started doing soul winning and the bus route. And then after 3 years, a man that graduated from our college there, from Baptist College, came to camp. The Lord so stirred in his heart to go to teenagers. He went to the preacher and said, I really heard, would you help me? He said, I'm pastoring you. And he became our youth pastor. And the preacher called me in the office and said, I need now to start the adult Sunday school classes. And I thought, I've never been in the adult. I don't know what it's like to start an adult Sunday school class. And so anyhow, that stimulated everything on that page. We'd like you to stop by. Most of the people in our Sunday school class, the Lord bless you. And then I had a goal of 100. We got to 99. The preacher let me know how many scripture classes I waited on. He said, if you did it once, you'd do it again. But most of the people, Sean and I, went to Christ. And each morning, if you ever came to camp, on Tuesday morning, Friday morning, Monday night, Thursday night, we had five devotions. And then with the staff that worked, it's Monday or Saturday morning, we had devotions. I never saved any of those devotions. I thought nobody would care what I said. I just threw it away the thoughts I got. But I got them out of my devotions that I had mentioned. So when I began to lead people to Christ, they would come to church, they'd go through the baptismal waters, they might come one or two weeks after. I'd visit and visit. And I was noticing two new things that were happening. Number one, they weren't getting on the Bible reading schedule to read the Bible. Number two, they weren't learning why the steps of their growing in Christ, why and how. So I began to take my text and my cell phone and send out text messages, devotions. That's the brown book over there. It's the first one. It's the most confusing. He heard that I was sending everybody I did, my starts and my sleeps with friends. So whatever I got out of my devotion that day, I've been reading the same Bible reading schedule. If you read on the 8th grade level, 20 minutes a day, on the schedule in those groups, you read the Old Testament once, the New Testament twice, Proverbs every night, and the Psalms twice. And each one of the devotions start out the morning, because I wrote them the way I talk, and the ladies that edited the book said, we'll edit it, make it proper, but we won't get it out of it. So I'm still trying to figure out what that all means. But anyhow, and then the next step was, is I got people to read again, and I began to see people that did not know Bible doctrines. So I began to pin 18 different little booklets that are called Stepping Stones in the Name of Christ. The first one's on salvation, the 23rd and baptism. It goes all the way down through the financial giving, how to get along with brothers and sisters in Christ. And if you stop, none of the money goes to Sean and I, goes to the pastor of the very kind of that said, if you buy nothing, I'm not about that. So I've noticed that people don't read the Bible. I've noticed that people don't know what they need. And the third thing that I told you was the first thing is they don't have a plan or a schedule and see the importance of reading the Bible. In Matthew chapter 6, we're asked to determine. It is termed as the Lord's Prayer. I don't know where that came, because that's not the prayer that he prayed, and that is not the pattern that he really wants us to pray. I'm going to back up here a little bit before I pray. I saw Mrs. Smith, and I call her Shauna. I think that's okay. I'm going to try to be transparent. And I love her. I tease her very, very much. People all the time want to see her. Does that bother you? She said, been there buzzing. It isn't good to me. And I watched that. But if you'll watch this, please. When I saw her in freshman orientation in college, I know who I am. I'm a redneck. She looked very proud. She looked very good. I watched what she did. I watched where she carried her Bible. I watched where she sat in chapel room. I watched what she did. I watched her mannerisms and everything. It created a desire that I began to pray and I began to fast. And after a period of time, I've been fasting, I began to ask her what day to begin. I wanted to move. And I tell you this, since October the 25th, our first date in 1969, my desire to be with her from November 12th, 2023, has been out to this world. I hunger for this. I'm in my heart breaking now because I'm seeing a lady that I love dearly. I didn't think about that, I'm sorry. But I hunger for you. I want to talk to you right now about something. If you get nothing else out of the lesson than this, prayer is not just asking, but you and me show God I long for you. If you and me showing God I desire to be in your presence, it's you and me showing God I hunger to feel you. I hunger to hear you. I hunger to completely be in tune with you. So I'm going to teach to you a message or a lesson this morning on nothing more than I entitled the Lord's Prayer. Are you with me today? I long to hear her voice. I did. I get up quite a bit earlier than she normally does, and she's a very early person. But months back, actually years back, when I started doing something, I stand by the Lord. I told preacher over the table this morning, and I'll pray for this. When my mother passed away, I was kneeling beside my mother, dead inside, and she ended up being in the garbage. My dad made a decision to start a foundation. My mom opened her eyes as I'm holding her hand, and she said these words, David, would you please get me right with your mom? Mouth. 16 years old, I walked out of the house every night. Father in heaven, I thank you for the time to be here today. I pray in Jesus' name that you'll fill me and anoint me. I want to be expedient about the time, but I want to be able to help. Father, I believe in this day and age that you and I, that you've allowed us to live in, and you've allowed us to serve. That we look at this world and we are overwhelmed at what we're seeing, even though it doesn't surprise you. And we're overwhelmed, Father, at what we're watching other Christians do. And that doesn't surprise you. Father, I believe with all my heart we use you. We that love you, we that come to Sunday school on Sunday morning, we that try to do the best that we can to live the Christian life, ought to spend more time along with you. Fill me, anoint me, and strengthen me with this power. In Jesus' name, amen. Leave your Bible there. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 17, the Bible says three words. Pray without ceasing. That means that you and I are to continually be in a conversation of prayer. I just don't pray or talk to my wife in the morning. I just don't talk to my wife of an evening. I just don't talk to my wife only at mealtime. There's a continual interaction of that. It doesn't hurt if you just stop all along. And I learned many years ago, do you ever stop and think about this? When you can't find something, Father, could you put something to find? And a continually walking. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. But the Bible also said in Psalm 55, verse 17, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. That's a promise that God will hear a voice. As he was there in this passage of Scripture, he talks about alms in the previous verses, and he talks about the verse that we're going to look at, and alms is things that you and I do for him. So now watch this, if you would please, in verse number 8. Be not ye therefore unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. So when we stop at that, it's not wrong to ask. It is not wrong to plead with him. Because the Bible says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth; to him that seeketh, findeth; to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. If I sign a Bible with my name, Brother Dave Smith, I sign right underneath it, Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So God's Word promises that He'll meet our needs, and so many more verses, and He'll take care of us, and He'll guide us. But the problem is, you and I don't stop and look at praying as, I'm just desiring to be with you, God. It's not wrong to ask. He tells us to ask. It's not wrong to plead. He tells us to plead. It's not wrong for Him to ask, for us to ask and Him to do miraculous things. He gives us opportunity. But what my accomplishment is today, or desire to accomplish in the Sunday school hour, is to show you what's accomplished when you seek just to be with Him. Are you with me? So if you've got a notebook, a piece of paper, a scrap, you can write there. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That word closet confuses us. That word closet could be a dining room table. That word closet could be an easy chair in the living room. That word closet could be a private place where you and God are alone. You and God are alone. That could be in your bedroom. That could be in the living room. That could be in an office. But it's important that you and I get that alone place. Now, I prayed with my brother back here, and that I just met today, and I prayed with the pastor in his office. God was there. We prayed together. But in this passage of Scripture, God is interested in you and me spending time alone with Him. We have the privilege to enter into His presence because we've been adopted. The Bible says in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. Today, our son is 48 years of age. I sent him a text message. I called him last night. I posted something on social media about our son. That doing that was my time showing my son, I don't care if anybody else reads it, if anybody else says anything about it, I showed my son, I love you, I'm thankful for you, I'm proud of you. Does that make sense? When's the last time you spent God thanking him, loving him, showing him? I love it when my wife sees something that's positive. The majority of the things she sees are very negative. It really is very negative. I am her pain in the gonzola. If you don't know where the gonzola is, I'll explain that to you a little bit later. I am her heartache. I mean, the list can keep on going and going and going. I don't mean to be. It's probably a fella that chews vigorously on his Bigfoot more than anybody else. I am in a concern right now, especially my wife in the Middle East. The suits are starting to look terrible. We measured my height. I used to be 5'6.5". I'm now less than 5'6". If I don't hurry today, I could disappear right in front of you because I'm in the shrink mode right now. I really am. What a joy to address God as our Father. We have loved and honored our fathers in this world, but God is truly the greatest of all fathers, the omnipotent God our Father, the omnipresent God our Father, the omniscient God our Father, always present, listen please, and never, never, never out of reach. His love is expressed to us every minute of every day, and we have the honor to walk boldly into His throne room to speak to Him. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. God cares. I don't know about you, but somebody that cares for me, I want to thank Him. Somebody that cares for me, I want to spend time with Him. Somebody that cares for me, I want to show my appreciation to them. Somebody that cares for me and puts me first place, evidently, it's a special binding ring. And that is the same thing. In our minds, we think about a husband and wife. In our minds, we think about parents and children. In our minds, we think about family and close relationships. But it's farther than that. I want you to look with me as we step down through these few verses. In verse number 9, let's begin. And I'm going to read through here, then we're going to come back and digest it. And this manner, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Back to verse number 9, if you would. Look at verse number 9. I want you to see this. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Number one, when you and I take time to pray, He, number one, always rewards us with His presence. That's the first thing. Look at those words. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When He sees that I want time with Him, when He hears that I want time with Him, I have other lessons and messages, and I'm reading new books right now. I'm praying. I'm burdened for this generation. This generation is so adaptive. I want it now. I want it now. I want it now. I want it now. This generation is so adaptive. I can figure it out. I can figure it out. I can Google it. I can go ahead and hit Safari for it. I can call it up immediately. That our personal time, number one, with God has been affected so bad that our personal time with a human being that I can see. But now watch this, please. If I don't interact with somebody I can't see, I sure as a rule don't interact. That's why I challenge young people all the time. You've got to have a walk with God. You've got to learn how to hear the voice of God. You've got to understand how to know the will of God. You've got to understand how to be under conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. So number one, He rewards us with His presence. The Bible tells us in Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. So if I just simply say, matter of fact, I didn't bring it with me, but I have a notebook that I carry. And that notebook gets larger and larger and larger, and you can imagine. I write down things. You go shopping, you write down a shopping list. You send a letter, you write down things. You want to compliment somebody, you write those things down. So the very first thing I do is I have in my notebook names of gods I've been finding. And I praise Him that He's the Alpha and the Omega. I praise Him that He's the Rising and the Morning Star. I praise Him that He's the Way, the Truth, and the Life. I praise Him that He's and so on and so forth. And when I praise Him, it's like this. Honey, I've just acknowledged your presence. Sugar, sweetheart, darling, all those things. When you cry out to God, you and I immediately have His presence. Now look at verse number 10. I'm hustling and hurrying here. In verse number 10, we see these words. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom, thy workings, thy control be done. So number one, He rewards me with His presence. Number two, when I pray, He rewards me with His peace. Each one of us at Liverpool is focused on that child. And that child begins to go ahead and maybe snicker a little bit, quietly. I've raised folks in my life. This is the first time in my life I'm animals. I'm around some people that I think are animals, but I don't know about that. I don't have a longhorn. I don't have a dairy cow. I don't have a horse. I got rid of my last horse. I'm even in a mess of shape. I don't have a dog. And I've always had dogs. I've been to some human beings with dogs, but you know, I don't have any. And I just stopped. Nothing more special than look at that dog. I am the last dog I had in Kentucky. I did a few things and I said, she gave up her ears. There's nothing more comfortable than somebody in charge says, this one dog. You're going to make it through the storm. My grace is sufficient. If things are going to work out, I know what's going on. Dad, is everything going to be okay? Yes, we're going to be fine. I'll just go back to sleep. Mom, it's my first day at school. Do you think I'll make it on the test? You're going to do great on the test. How about mom? And you know, I pray. And you know, I let Him know. Oh, Lord, I just want You to be in control. I want Your will. This lady, named Mrs. Sean, has never lived in 15 years until this last March. A house in a redneck. Just everything. Amen. Duct tape is your most important tool that you use. And I told her when we moved this morning before we left Kentucky, I had asked Pastor Tim if I could remodel the house that we came to. And he allowed us to do that in the last several years. Last thing we want is a bunch of babies. We'd save when we get a flat tire. We'd save when we get a gun. We'd save when we go to the house. Anybody else say amen on that one? We just try to. So we had picked out this cabin to go and pray and pray. We just couldn't save it. Some people, a couple that are friends of ours, they told us about the place. And they said, oh, it's stupid. They'll take the windows out. They're still in good shape. They take them. They said, we saw some cabins. And so Sean and I went in and said, come on Saturday. We had the money in our pocket, $70, equivalent to $70. And we went, so we went in the cabin to make sure everything was. Yes! And I looked at her, she said, honey, how did you have to do this cabin? We were just so excited and that, yes, this is God's will. And we were just had such a peace and overpass there. And so what ended up happening, I went and paid for those. We went to church on Sunday, told the Sunday school class, told everybody at the church. They were happy with us. This young couple told us about came Monday with me. I left the camp, drove on the back of the truck, drove in the room, loaded everything, packed everything up. We were excited. Gentlemen, do not do from this point on what I don't know much about what I'm talking to. We drove 1/2 mile, got on a 4-lane road. I'm driving along, talking to Sean, we're rejoicing. All of a sudden, I saw it. It was a black Ford Escape, and she was going in and out of traffic like this. And I thought, I was going to have an accident. And she hit me. This is what you're going to do. Honey, I just had an accident. Bye. You don't do that. You do not. All the world, I'm sorry, but you forgive me. They don't work. They don't work. So anyhow, she hit so hard, this funny truck. The trailer and all the cabins were destroyed. 4 lanes of highway stopped. It's very good. From this point, jumped out of the truck. I remember it until I did it. I went to check the woman. She was in full condom. I left as soon as I could. Really, really okay. I called 911. The police went over. The guy was in the toilet. He looked at me so big inside it. He had nothing else to do. Gas. Inside, he just sat there at the wrench. What happened? I said, we've had an accident. He goes, I don't know. I thought, we've got enough time to check. So, anyhow, here's why I don't know. I stood in the middle. I'm going to You know, she's doing everything. Just do it. He rewards you with the peace. I'm going to do something greater than you can ever imagine. The third thing, and I've got to hurry along here. In verse number 11, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." In Psalm 34, verse number 10, the Bible says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Number three, when you and I pray, He rewards us with the promise of His full provision. Everything that He's got, it's ours. If we need it, He's going to give it to us. My wife and I have this. First time in our married life. I don't know about you, but I was raised in the country, and I shoot, and I fish, and I just enjoy going out shooting a gun in the air. And I just love it. I go, this boy, it's a redneck, raised in Missouri, in the country, he's hunted and fished all his life, in a town. Whoa. So on our list, boy, you fish. Did you find some? I don't get it exactly what full provision. He knows what you want. How many of us parents have said, "I know you don't like it, but it's good for you." I'm still trying to figure out how many things I eat. I'm just still eating them. Amen. Number one, He rewards us with what? His presence. Say it with me. His presence. Number two, He rewards us with His peace. Number three, He rewards us with full provision. Look at verse number 12, and I've got to pick up the speed here. "And forgive us our debts, for we forgive our debtors." Number four, He rewards us with full pardon. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The problem is we don't give Him opportunity to do that. In verse number 10, right after verse number 9, the Bible says, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us." God wants to cleanse us. God desires to cleanse us. And when we pray, He gives us that full forgiveness, that full pardon, if I can say that. The problem is that you and I continually sin. We'll sin the rest of our life. I don't desire to. I don't want to have a time of intense fellowship with her. But I'm a human being. It happens. Men do dumb on a regular basis. We're just coming in from 6 weeks being out on the road. She made me a 3-to-5 card list. I went, I'm not stupid. I might look it, but I'm not. She said, "I need you to get some sharp cheddar cheese." She said, "Cheddar on the second." And then she said, "2 to bring this out." I want you 1 or 2 blocks of cheddar. I want you 1 or 2 blocks of cheddar. Or of extra sharp cheddar, 2 blocks of cheddar. We got enough cheese to last. We all come over the house today. We got enough cheese to slice for a week or so if you want to. But she's still loving me. What are you saying? I'm saying that when you and I pray, He rewards us with a good heart. How many things have I forgotten that? I love the Bible. It's my wisdom. Let every man be swift and rich in his speech and wrath. When you pray, you can have a revival. Hurt, more teenagers will shut their parents off because their parents didn't spend time with us. He rewards us with his full pardon. Number 5, verse number 13. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He rewards us with his full protection. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. He rewards us with full protection. Have you guys ever had an accident? You had an accident with damage, yes. But he rewards you. Sometimes we'll be stopped along the edge of the road. The traffic is backed up. And all many times when the traffic is cleared, we've gone, there's been an accident a little bit farther down. God did something to protect us. Yes, full protection. Bert, moving on, number 6. In verse number 13, the Bible says, in verse number 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power. He rewards us with his power. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So number 1, when you and I pray, you and I show that we want his attention, he rewards us with his presence. Number 2, he rewards us. Number 3, he rewards us with his provision. Number 4, he rewards us with his pardon. Number 5, he rewards us with his protection. And number 6, he rewards us with his power. Public prayers have their place. And even those who pray and receive from men have the reward. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 5, the Bible says, verily I say unto you, they have the reward. Listen to this, please. It is private prayer God desires for. God is not moved by the flatteriness of public praise so much as moved by the private prayers and praises in our closets. Neglecting our prayer closets will not move the hand of God. Our Father which art in heaven waits for our private time with him alone. And this he rewards with open public favor. Did you spend time with him? I can't imagine starting the day without looking at the Bible. Get in a moment of frustration and stop and say, God, I know my frustrations. When we get time of discouragement, look at David saying, after he came back and all the 600 soldiers that he'd been fighting battles with, their wives were gone, David's wives are gone, the children are gone, their homes are burned. And David says these words, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know what the first thing he did? Called for violence. Oh, my friend. Father in heaven.